الحمد لله الحمد لله معز الإسلام بنصره مذل الشرك بقهره ومصرف الأمور بأمره ومديم النعم بشكره ومستدرج الكفار بمكره الذي قدر الأيام دولا بعدله وجعل العاقبة للمتقين بفضله وأفاء على عباده من ظله وأظهر دينه على الدين كله القاهر فوق عباده فلا يمانع والظاهر على خليقته فلا ينازع والآمر بما يشاء فلا يراجع والحاكم بما يريد فلا يدافع أحمده على أظفاره وإظهاره وإعزازه لأوليائه ونصره لأنصاره وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة. وقال تعالى: وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلكم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, brothers and friends and sisters that may be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete and perfect way of life. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to quote this ayat which I recited in the khutbah very, very frequently. O those who have believed, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, enter into Islam totally. Islam is not really, is not limited only to the acts of worship, salah, fasting, the performance of hajj. These are the days of hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the hujjaj safely and accept, grant each and every one a maqbool, mabroor hajj. So deen is a complete system of life, a complete system of life. And it includes very, very importantly the aspects of leadership, what we may sometimes use the word politics to describe. In Arabic, the word for politics is siyasa, which means to lead. How do we lead and how are societies run and managed in a way that ensures peace, harmony, prosperity for all? So there is often a misconception that this is foreign and it's not part of our deen. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very clearly says in the verses of the Quran Sharif, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who have brought iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, most definitely that they will gain dominance in the earth. Dominance in the earth. So the vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to play a dominating role in the leadership of mankind. That is why the Sahaba ikram, when they went in front of the rulers of those, that era, the Persian Empire and the Romans, then one of the Sahaba said to them, he said, what is your message? So he says, أَتَيْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. That our mission is to remove people, from the worship of other people, to remove the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the worship of other slaves. Now we will say that where is the worship happening? The worship is happening when people have become so engrossed in their own lives that they are economic slaves today, or they are slaves of the desires today. So the mission of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to take out people from slavery ila ibadati rabbil ibad, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa min dhiqi ad-dunya ila sa'ati al-akhirah, and from the constraints of the life of this world to the expanses of the life of the hereafter. In other words, to establish and to put those principles in place that allow people to live in a manner of peace, harmony and tranquility in this world and more importantly in the hereafter. So indeed, our deen encompasses all aspects. Now particularly in this time and era that we are in, with the war that is going on against our brothers and sisters, or the genocide we would say rather, and then in our current South African context with the elections on our doorstep, I thought it is appropriate to discuss a few points around this aspect of politics, leadership, and perhaps a little bit we'll touch on the elections. So the first misconception that is there is that because it is an era, an age of deception and deceit, then perhaps it is not appropriate for Muslims at all to be involved or to have any kind of involvement in the political structures and the political systems that may be available to us in this day and age. And this is a misconception. The great scholar of Islam of our current day and age, and in fact our own Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, in around 2009, I think it was during April that the elections took place in that year, he emphasized the fact that our Muslims should get involved. We should get involved, but we need to understand what are the rules, what are the principles, what is the characterization from an Islamic perspective. So one thing is very, very clear, that deen is encompasses all aspects of life, including how leadership and how governments and systems of governance will apply in the world. And when we reflect over what it is that the system that is prevalent today, the ulama have written, people like Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, his view is as follows, that we can characterize this aspect of voting. It is not something that we just take lightly and disregard. It is an amanat. In fact, he mentions in one booklet that he has written that it is in fact a testimony that he's being given. It is a testimony that one applies one's ability to say that who is it in the circumstances that may be the best in order to carry out and will be the best in order to meet the needs of society. Now, in this regard, we all know that there are no perfect solutions. There are no perfect solutions. But to the extent that we can enable, firstly, and educate ourselves with regard to what are the different policies that are out there of the different people that may be standing and parties that may be standing. So the importance is to understand that it is a testimony ultimately that one is giving, and to understand that we have to select the best possible people that we can entrust this aspect of leadership to. At the same time, it is important to understand and to touch on the hadith which I also mentioned in the khutbah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man ra'a minkum munkaran, whomsoever from amongst you sees some sort of, literally the word munkaran means something which is abnormal, it is also translated as evil, something wrong, something that is not as it's supposed to be. It's a very, very general term. Something that is not in its normal state, in its normal manner. In other words, you see some issue, you see some problem. So what is the teaching of deen with regards to us? Is it only that we focus and we worry ourselves and we busy ourselves only when it comes to us and our own lives? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. The first priority is that he should change it. This is a imperative tense. He is commanded. We are commanded to do something about it physically. We are commanded to do something about it physically. Something is not right in society, or for example in our own lives, or that extends to our circles of influence. The first command that we are commanded to do is to physically do something about it. Bring about a change in it. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِ, if he is unable to do that, فَبِلِسَانِ, then speak about it. Bring about the change with your tongue. Talk about it. Talk about how we can bring those changes that are required and that everyone
seeks the improvement in societies and the improvement in lives. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And if you can't do that also, then bring about change with your heart. Often this is translated as, then he must think that it's bad. Or we must think that it's bad. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَبِقَلْبِهِ فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِقَلْبِهِ. He should bring about, in other words, strategize and work out ways in how can we improve the conditions. And then, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said should make our hair stand on end, brothers. He said, وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the lowest state of iman. In other words, a believer is not one who will tolerate any kind of status quo which is contrary to the norm, which is bad for society. So there are two extremes here. There are two extremes. And unfortunately, we get caught up in the different extremes. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that as an ummah, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We are a balanced ummah. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. This is the balance. The system of Islam is a very, very balanced system. So one way is that a person says that, you know what, don't get involved at all. Focus on your own life. Worry about your own self. In that regard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, النَّاسُ إِذَا رَأُوا الظَّالِمْ فَلَمْ يَأْخُذُوا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِهِ أَوْشَكَ أَن يَعُمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if the people see that someone oppressive is out and about doing and meeting out oppression, and they do not gather to hold him back and to keep him in check, then it is close that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make punishment very, very widespread amongst people. And everyone will end up suffering the consequences. So this is the one extreme, that don't have any sort of involvement, and we think and we have this misconception that improving and politics and leadership or the general well-being in society is external to our system of Islam. This is a misconception. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is to believe that simply by going and casting the vote, which we have said again is an important aspect, it's a part of the tools that are available to us today in the country that we live in order to make the change that we can. But the other extreme is to believe that once I have gone and done that, then that's it, that's the be all and sum total of what I am doing or I should do. This is the other extreme. We can see from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there were degrees of influence. The first point of call, the first solution was that get involved and make the changes that have to be made. Those of us that to the extent that we have influence, resources, reach, we should be getting involved. Whether it means getting involved in your own localities, your own councils, if someone has the influence and the ability to get involved at a municipal level, at a provincial level, at a national level, this is not foreign to the teachings of Islam. So this is, in fact, in this hadith, it is a recognition of the fact. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is telling us and teaching us that it's going to happen that different people will have different degrees of influence. Some will have the ability to physically participate in making a change. Some will have the ability to speak up and say something. Some will have the ability to strategize in their minds and hearts on how to bring about a change. But if we can't do that also, brothers, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the weakest form of iman. So let us be balanced in our approach. And let us go beyond. Unfortunately, if we have to analyze the vast majority of the community of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have become so caught up in this the mundane demands and dictates of life, that the larger purpose, the larger vision which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set out for this ummah, which is the guidance and the prosperity of all humanity, it has become a very, very localized thing. Reflect, let's all reflect. I will reflect myself for a few seconds, brothers. Most of the time of the day goes in what? Most of the time of our days goes, and indeed this is an important part and parcel of our life. I am not saying that it is haram, Allah forbid, but to make the pursuit of a livelihood the sum total and objective of our lives, this is where we are selling ourselves short. We have failed to understand our role as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, he said, "Kullukum ra'in." This is the vision and this is the approach of leadership in Islam. It is a culture of taking responsibility. It is not a culture of saying that it's someone else's problem. It is a culture of finding solutions, getting involved, improving conditions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyati." Each one of you is a leader. Each one of you is like a shepherd, and each one is going to be responsible for his flock. So, to the extent that we may have, and the ulama have written, what does this mean? This means that mother that is looking after the little children in the homes, then she is the leader of those children. She will be the giving that tarbiyah, that teaching that is going to produce the next Salahuddin and the next Muhammad al-Fatih who conquered Constantinople. That teacher that is teaching in the schools is not teaching simply because of the objective of earning a salary to feed his family, which is indeed something, but his vision and his mission is far, far greater than that. And if only each and every one of us can identify that and make that niyat, that broaden our horizons, brothers. Let's broaden the horizons that what is the role of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've often quoted this verse of poetry of Allama Iqbal, Rahmatullah alayhi, the great poet of Pakistan, when he addresses the believer and he says that, "Nahi hai tera nashay man qasr sultani ke gumbat par, tu shaheen hai basera kar pahadon ki chatano par." O believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your place of perching, your place of abode is not the dome of the king's palace. In other words, if you reached at the height of being able to sit even above where the king sits, on top of his throne, above sitting on the dome of the palace, you haven't achieved anything extraordinary. It is nothing extraordinary that you've achieved because you are a falcon. Tu shaheen hai. If a falcon flies and sits on top of a high building, will anyone get impressed with that height that it has reached? It's nothing abnormal. Because what is its capacity? What is its capability? Its capability was to fly and soar above the mountains. And likewise, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have settled for very, very low goals. The low goal of living a comfortable, indeed it is something that is very, very good if we can provide and work, earn halal, and it is part of Islam and part of deen. But it is not the be all and end all of everything. It is not the total, we will not say that we have achieved great achievement by accumulating a lot of wealth or by running a very, very large business. What happened to the meaning and the vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this verse of the Quran Sharif when he said, "Wa'ada Allahu alladhina amanu minkum wa 'amilu s-salihat la yastakhlifannahum." Allah ta'ala has promised that if we have brought, that if iman is entirely brought, and it is another discussion on its entirety which we've covered previously, that this iman is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion said, "Al-iman lahu bid'un wa sittuna wa qala sab'una shu'ba." It's like a beautiful tree which has over 60 to 70 branches. Once all of those branches come into our lives, brothers, including the branch of leadership and politics in Islam, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ This is a method, it's a system, it is a rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will grant dominance to the people of Iman. But that Iman has to be complete and in its totality, and it needs to be understood. We cannot of our own accord limit the meaning of deen to only the acts of worship. On multiple occasions, our Imam Hazrat Yunus Saab rahmatullah alayhi used to quote the following verse of the Quran Sharif as a warning. فَمَا جَزَاءُ أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. That do we believe in some parts of the book? Do we selectively, as we would say today, cherry pick? We will choose what is convenient for us to do, what is easy. Because that was the way of the munafiqeen. Allah Ta'ala protect us. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. And some aspects we will reject. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The only compensation for that will be disgrace in this world. Disgrace. We don't have to look too far among our nation's leaders today. But what state are we in? It is because we have divorced the totality of Islam. And there is a role for each and every one to play. We were discussing that teacher in the school has to be thinking that I am playing a role as a leader. That employer in the workplace should be playing a role. It is not only about selfishness and personal gain and personal growth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us this in the Quran Sharif. The formula for success is to turn away from being selfish. وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, He says that whoever can be protected, it's a natural inclination. Everyone has a natural disposition towards worrying first about themselves. But if we can repel this, if we can repel this internal desire where we gravitate or we are attracted towards first worrying about ourselves, or primarily, nowadays perhaps only worrying about ourselves, then if we can do that, Allah Ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So we have to reflect over our lives. How much has it become only about ourselves? Whatever we're doing, whatever efforts we put in, if we can change that, if we can change that as a community, then slowly, as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is great hope. There is great hope in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People ask and they say with a little bit of despondency, perhaps it is. It is a little bit, when we look at how our brothers and sisters are being mercilessly killed and slaughtered in front of the media of the world, and the blatant lies that are there. It's no secret now, brothers. You open the media that is controlled by the Muslim world, and open the media that's controlled by the Western world, and you'll see the stark realities of the falsehood that is being. So what else do we need now to tell us what the Quran Sharif has told us 1400 years ago? قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُمْ أَكْبَرُ. That hatred is there in their hearts. It's a little bit has been expressed on the tongues, just a little bit. But what the heart contains is much, much more. So that aspect of creating an awakening in the ummah, and especially the youth, I want to say to our young brothers and sisters that may be listening, that don't underestimate the power of the youth. Look at in the world today, who has stood up in the universities around the world to cry out when the governments and the so-called intellectuals and the so-called courts of the world are silent? Who is it that is standing up and saying what the haq is? I was saying that there is no need to lose hope. In the khutbah, in the beginning, which I recited as a means of encouragement for myself and for each and every one of us, these were the words which Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayh said. I think it was on the 10th of October in the year 1187, the 4th of Sha'ban, the year 583 after Hijrah, when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayh, stood on the minbar in Masjid al-Aqsa, and these were the words that he said. That is why there is no need to lose hope. What did he say? The opening words of his khutbah when he conquered Masjid al-Aqsa. He said, Alhamdulillahi mu'izzil islami bi nasri. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted Islam honor through victory, through his victory. Victory will come through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mudilli shirki bi qahri, who disgraced shirk through his power and who changed matters through his command. And the one who continues to give us blessings, bi shukrihi, by virtue of us making and appreciating his blessings upon us. And wa mustadrij al kuffari bi makri, and he is also that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is granting respite to the disbelievers because of his ultimate plan. So if we are seeing a little bit of dominance that is there today, this is not the long-term plan. This is again in the verses of the Quran Sharif. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think that Allah ta'ala is not aware of what the oppressors are doing. He is only granting them respite for a while. Then Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi said that الَّذِي قَدَّرَ الْأَيَّامَ دُوَلًا بِعَدْلِهِ. This is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the system of this world, sometimes some will get dominance, at other times others will get dominance. But what is, he says next is then what should give us a lot of hope and should give us a lot of strength as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَجَعَلَ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ بِفَضْلِ. But in the final analysis, victory will be for those who have taqwa, for those who have brought iman, and for those who have fully entered into the teachings of Islam. So respected elders and brothers, time has expired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to play the role that we have to play in society as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a very, very great role to play. We have a role to play to establish justice, to bring about good. And let us be proactive in that. Let us remove this aspect of selfishness from our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships facing our brothers and sisters in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant peace, prosperity, growth, and elimination of poverty from this beautiful country of ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant prosperity in the entire world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.